Balin here, voiced by Pavel, and I'm ashamed to say I come to you hat in hand, tiefling tail between my legs, with somewhat sad news. Halfway through this episode, Herman's audio gets a little bit wonky because we had some technical difficulties. Now, I could cheapen this by saying it was some kind of technical difficulty witch that cursed our show, but no, we fucked up. And I say we fucked up because we should have done better. We should have prepared for this, we should have stopped to check our audio, and we didn't do that. And in our efforts to ameliorate our mistake, this episode is late. So this is a twofer. We fucked up, and we fucked up again. Electric Boogaloo. And you deserve better, and we just want you to know that we're learning from that, and we will take that into the future to provide you with the best possible product that we can. I'm just going to say, sorry, we'll try to do better in the future, and we hope that you enjoy the show.
Silas is walking from the hut to the bubble and passes by the several dozen holes in the beach made by the Silver Talons. They search for a buffalo.
The buffalo is, well, you watch the Barry telling them, guys, I'm right here. You know you don't have to keep digging for me, right? And they're like, shut up! We're looking for the buffalo! We have orders from the captain!
That's my crew!
You're not my boss!
That's my guy!
You're not my fucking boss!
Yes!
Well, while they're looking for the buffalo so intently, wow, Prism, you just really got in there. Like, it looks like some kind of, like, magic spell almost, because I was gonna say, like, power tools, but they aren't a thing in our world.
Sure they are.
But something's, like, moving the sand real fast, and I realize it's just Prism with those eight legs really digging hard.
Mavi comes to you, and she's like, yeah. Oh, damn it, hold on.
That was the Barry voice.
Yes. One of Prism's old cousins used to be a digging trap spider. Prism spent summers out there in the desert.
It's really good to commune with your family and learn some skills from each other, so I'm glad that Prism got to do that. And meanwhile, I'm just, like, tilting my head, looking at this obsidian aura around Prism, this, like, I am the avatar of death kind of color.
Good, yes, good.
Whereas maybe Mevi is like a navy blue, but like Prism, there might even be a skull and crossbones in that aura.
Actually, Mevi's aura is owl-colored.
Owl-colored? So like...
You cannot explain it, but it looks like an owl color. It's like just owl. It's an owl.
That's interesting.
Wild.
Okay, sounds like the boss unlocked the dome. We should march in.
Yeah.
Are you okay? You seem paler than normal. Do you want more rat feces? I have some leftovers.
Oh, no.
You know, I think I'm okay. Suddenly, I feel so much better, and I don't think I need any rat feces whatsoever. So, oh, look. There he goes. Bye! I, like, scurry on past Xander, who's outlined with, like, a rainbow shimmer. But I think, like, gray, pink, white, blue, maybe those are the colors that are the most visible in Xander's aura.
So the transgender flag, they love that. They love that.
Yeah, I figure that's a pretty good one for Xander.
Nice.
And Silas yells, oh, shit, and then falls in a hole. Because of the fire red aura of Nibbles, or whatever his name was.
Nibbles.
Nibbly.
Nibbly.
Tilford Speechless Nibbly.
Tilford Speechless Nibbly. Our show's often forgotten mascot.
Forgotten by you, maybe.
And he says, oh, wow, that reminds me of when Val rescued me from a bunch of desert trappers. Yes. This is how she met me one time when I was in my 20s. She found me in this trap in the desert. She saved me, and I owe her my life to her. Since then, she has been my captor and my best friend.
You know, a lot of the Silver Talons seem to have similar stories about Valen, and
he was talking about my grandma.
Val, it's a Val, Val.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, which I heard is a thing that apples do, because apparently they grow on trees, but I've never seen an apple in real life.
Life debts, get your life debts here!
At the end of the day, I think we get so many concussions that we forget how we met these people, and we just are here now, so we just try to make sense of it sometimes.
Honestly, as he like helps me out of the hole, I'm starting to feel like family, because I'm pretty sure Valen did the same thing to me, so... Let's go save my weird uncle or something.
Oh, God.
Hi, it is me, Herman, and I am in a very cheerful mood, somehow sober, at 9 p.m. on a Thursday. Hi. I'm kidding.
I'm not sober.
It's a rainy, rainy day in New York City, which puts everyone's mood a little bit in the dumper. So, cheer up, everyone. Make some chocolate and, I don't know, put your feet up on a table and be wild. Don't use a coaster.
It's been so cold today that actually that just sounds wonderful. So, like... All right, let's play some D&D, get through this recording, because I have some hot chocolate to make. I'm Shane, I play Silas, and I'm no longer present for D&D, I'm only here for hot chocolate.
But do use a coaster, though, I was joking, please use a coaster.
Oh no, a coaster is very important.
Yeah, seriously, let's not get crazy. Speaking of getting crazy, I'm Valen, voiced by Pavel. Hey, seasonal affective disorder is a real thing, you should take care of your mental health. Talk to somebody, everybody, it's very important.
That actually is. I'm so glad that you, like, remembered to be intentional and conscientious of people.
It's what I do.
I'm Ben. I play Randall. I am broadcasting from sunny San Diego, California, where we have one season and one season only. Nice.
Wow, look at that. Randall just died. Randall fell in a hole and broke his neck. Randall just died magic randomly.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Well, at least Ben can go out and enjoy that exactly 69 degree weather. Nice.
Nice.
69.
Nice.
Okay, so...
Nice. Good joke, Shane. Nice.
Last time on The Legend of Nat 1, oh boy, the identity crises just keep coming for Silas. We had a heart-to-heart with the Guardian Buffalo.
And Randall.
And we had a lot of info dumps.
Speak for yourself. I had a frantic search session for the Guardian Buffalo that I still don't know anything about, but do love with all my heart and would die for.
And I feel like we're maybe burying the lead on the Guardian Buffalo backstory, because Valen still doesn't know, but Herman said it while we were listening, so that... The listeners will hear anyway.
The listeners hear what we tell them to hear.
That's the power of editing, baby.
Yes.
Yeah, you can edit out the first reveal.
All right, we'll
see. We might. In any case, we now know Barry was formerly the primordial titan Dread and has been reconstituted in some way as a Guardian Buffalo. And he shares
spoilers.
Yeah, well, this is a recap. If there aren't spoilers here, I don't know what we're doing.
Well,
he's double distilled now. He's good quality vodka now.
And he shares a birthday with Silas, and we're not going to read into that at all.
Nope.
Why would we?
I'm still blinking over here. I'm like, for the listeners, they've had 2 weeks. I'm still absorbing this.
Spoilers. Don't give them peeks behind the curtain. They don't deserve that. You pay for that shit on Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
By the way, find us on Patreon at, what's our Patreon tag?
It's patreon.com/nat1pod, I think. It'll be edited out if I'm wrong.
Ta-da.
Wild. Hey, we're good at this, huh? You should give us money because we're good at this.
So we ended with Valen being himself, exploring the bubble. And he runs through it with open arms as if he's in love with said bubble.
No, just one hand out.
Oh.
In the classic I must touch this position.
So he was the fly going to the zapper. And he touched the zapper, but it didn't zap him. His discs in his valley pack went off and a door opened for him.
Oh, that is what we decided to call it. Fuck. Oh, let's not forget the most important thing. Valen laid the seeds of friendship between himself and Karen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to be besties by the time this is done. You're going to leave the campaign to move in with Karen.
Let's not go crazy. Xander's my best friend. Let's not go crazy.
You can get a 3-bedroom.
Xander would not stand for Karen.
Oh, yeah, Xander hates Karen. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, when you were sitting down with Karen gossiping, he was like, tell me everything you hate about my boss, because sometimes, like, ugh, I can't even. What are the gossipy, dirtiest bits you know about Tubercio? Because I have some tea, baby. Some tea.
Ooh, dish. No, spill. Spill? Spill the tea? What's the expression?
One time, he made out with a sausage.
Like a sausage attached to something else, or just the food?
Just the food. He got very drunk, and he thought the sausage was very cute, and he made out with it. So slutty.
Interesting.
Such a slut. Isn't he a slut? Isn't he a giant slut?
Did he take a blue pill?
Random question, actually, and this one's for Pavel. Pavel.
Yes?
During your gossip session, does Valen mention the crewmate of theirs that he murdered, like, 3 episodes ago?
That's what I was thinking about bringing up, and I think I do. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I actually met 2 former crewmates of Tubercio's. They didn't have a lot of nice things to say, but it's nothing you probably haven't already heard.
Oh, I probably started the rumor myself, honestly.
Honestly, I like you, Karen.
That's the first time that sentence has ever been uttered in the history of America.
I like you a lot. Would you like to join my crew?
So, but who are these two? I'm curious. Like, we had a little bit of a in and out problem with staff, so I created some employment contracts, and now nobody leaves the ship. It's great.
Interesting.
I'm very good with small print.
He means he enslaves them.
I'm so good with small print.
You know, Karen, you and I can talk a little bit about job satisfaction, motivation, and growth needs strength if you have the time for it. I know I do, but, you know, I think that...
Why?
If anything...
In-depth self-servitude works just as fine.
Okay. I just... Listen, all I'm saying is this. There's room on my crew for all of you in the inevitable defeat of Tubercio.
Oh, you can't afford me. It's okay. Hmm? You cannot afford me. Let me say that again. You cannot afford me.
I sincerely doubt that, but okay.
She
Karen.
Is a Karen.
And cut to the bubble.
So actually, as Karen is like trying to like explain to you his contract needs, which at this point, he's been talking like nonstop for 10 minutes and you start ignoring him at some point.
So much PTO. Why does everybody get PTO but us?
Wow, Shane. Wow. Insensitive, Shane. Too soon.
Oh, I have paid time off. I just can't take it.
And he's like, yes, that's exactly what I do. Oh my God. I have this system where I promise them PTO so they can work very hard for it. And then I tell them it's too late to ask for it. And it's amazing. Then they lose it and I get free labor. It's amazing. Sometimes, you know, FAFSA has some good things to it. Capitalism works.
Always unequivocally and no notes. You're right.
I love a yes man. Anyways, you should go. Now.
Yes, let's go. And I just kind of grab Valen and start pulling him away from Karen.
Wait, hold on. Why?
Because I kind of like want to build up to a little bit of drama because... And he points behind him without looking back. And in the distance, you see... A topless Cappy swimming at full speed, like literally creating a wake the size of like a speedboat. And on his back, like cross-legged with a little notebook identical to the one that Karen has, is Tubercio waving the little notebook in the air. You son of a bitch! He told me everything! We three-way called, trapped you, and you spilled all the beans, you bitch. We're coming! And they're using, like, that cleric cantrip to scream this at very loud, like, magical level voices.
Thaumaturgy?
Yes. And Cappy is just, like, roaring and swimming at, like, his biceps and shoulders are just, like, machine guns right now. He's like...
The race is on!
It's like, see you inside.
What did you do?
Hmm?
What did you do?
Don't worry about it. The race is on. Valen continues running.
So, as we all start running, where are we running and what are we looking for exactly? Because all I know is go to the center of the bubble.
I don't know where you guys are running, but I'm following Barry.
Good point. Valen turns into an Arakocra and flies.
Holy shit.
Xander follows suit.
For you, Ben, my Arakocra form is that of a raven with, like, teal eyes and pearlescent feathers that end in, like, purple tips.
Nice.
Oh, this is great.
Can you keep up, Randall?
I'm running!
Balan, as you fly up, you see Tubercio in an attempt to keep his eyes on you. He jumps off of Cappy and adopts his Arakocra form, which is the first time you see it.
Oh, you son of a... Ah!
His Arakocra form is the most shocking thing you've seen in your whole fucking life. When he is in his shark form, he looks like a nurse shark, which is like big, wide, flat head almost, with a mouth that goes from ear to ear. It's like big, muscular, scary, scarred, monster beast of a big person. And in his Arakocra form, he's a hummingbird.
Huh.
He is, you know that Buzz was that Pokemon that's like a giant muscular mosquito?
Beedrill?
No, Buzz was, fuck, what's his name?
Buzz Lightyear?
You gotta start with a generation so we can narrow it in.
He's one of the Ultra Beasts. The red mosquito is like a fighting bug.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck is that?
Beast Wars.
It's like a giant, like...
Buzzwole?
Buzzwole. Oh. Buzzwole, yes, it's Swole.
This can't be real.
It is. But Tuberosia looks like this, but with the most luscious, blossomy green feathers as a hummingbird would have. And very delicate wings, actually. Even though his arms and shoulders and chest look like a barrel, the wings are delicate and flap at a scarily fast speed. But pretty much...
Okay, but how many dicks he got?
Just his wrists flap. He's just like literally like flapping with his wrists.
Well... That was bad timing on how you said that, because it really implied that his wrists are dicks.
So he has confirmed dick wrists. We can all agree.
Those are those E1T that have like tentacly arms.
Oh, all right, God. All right, blah, all right. Blah, blah,
blah. Okay, so
I'll use thaumaturgy to yell to my crew to get to safety and... Or they're not following me, right? Like the rest of them?
You're running together. They're still on the ground. Mevi's leading the ground people.
Okay.
You and Xander are scouting ahead and above.
Okay.
It's not like there's no path. Like literally, this is like an inhabited island. And it's not that big. You manage to find a path through the woods. From above, it's easy to follow. And you start going by a few houses and a few larger buildings, kind of like longhouses. And the deeper you go into the island itself, you see more congregations of houses. Eventually, you hit a wall.
All right, Ermans, so we can keep up. Silas is going to do his best to pull from the Fafs and memories while his brain is spinning to just think of the biggest bird that I can remember, because Silas has not seen a lot of wildlife. And with a caw, I will latch my talons around Randall after casting polymorph.
Oh.
What? As I'm getting pulled up, I'm like, Barry! And I just kind of kick him in his own little pocket dimension.
Oh, God, I hate that place. Fine, let's go. Pokeball, here I come. Let's say you become a giant vulture. There's still some of those around.
Could axe beaks fly? I hope axe beaks could fly at some point, but I don't think so.
Not anymore.
Those are ostriches.
You never seen one with the original plumage.
Yes, he has. He's seen a giant one.
I have seen exactly one with original plumage.
Until you met the original one.
Nice.
Not the original one, like one of the real ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you become a giant vulture and you can carry Randall easily. Randall, Silas, Valen, and Xander are above, and you see a wall. While the land group, they knock on the door, of course, waiting politely for someone to answer.
Good.
Those above, do you go through it?
The wall?
Do you cross the wall from above?
No. Well, I don't. I go down and land next to Mevy.
She's like, yes, we should never enter a secure place without being announced. We do not know what is behind this place. But you are flying above, and you don't see much more of a difference, except that this wall goes a surprisingly long distance. Wall of China, almost. Like, there's no...
Like a cross, not up.
It just curves. It just keeps curving.
Gotcha.
As we are landing, Randall steps to the side and throws up. He never flew before.
Silas tilts his vulture head apologetically.
Oh, God.
But I'll keep the flight form for a little while.
Do I hear anybody approaching the door?
No. So the gate is just two giant planks of wood close together with like a bolt on the other side. And you don't see it. You don't hear anyone on the other side. But on your side, there's like curious villagers come out. They're like, oh, hi, visitors. Oh, so many of you. Ugh, weapons. Ugh. Let me guess, pirates?
I don't have any weapons.
Wait, you don't?
No.
Your crew does.
I don't.
Maybe.
Definitely.
I don't speak for them. I don't live... Well, I do speak for them, literally, but I don't live their lives, so I don't know if they brought weapons, but Valen doesn't have any weapons on him.
Okay.
Herman, would I know that this island was full of pacifists who wouldn't like us bringing weapons?
They won't stop you from bringing weapons, but they would not like you around them with weapons. Like, they'll like avoid you as much as they can.
So I think I would have told most of the crew not to bring weapons.
Xander was like, okay, you heard it. You heard the captain, crew. Hide your weapons.
Help creating new sheaths or sock pockets. Go to Mevy. She has plenty of skin. Came from, but she has plenty of...
Randall is just completely traumatized by this.
Randall wasn't there for this, I hope. This was on the ship. But yeah, so we don't have weapons. I'm trying to ingratiate ourselves in with the people here.
Some of the curious locals come up like, oh, hi.
Hi.
A little flashback for the listener, or a little like info drop. The people of this island are a bunch of like hippies. Imagine a commune. Done. This is it. That's it. This is her. This is she. They're just a bunch of like Kenkus and other like very peaceful, like chill, medium and small size humanoids. And when I point this out, it's because it's like about 50% or 65% small size creatures. And everything feels almost miniature. It's like going into, let me try to think of, remember that world in Star Wars with the little bears that live in the woods, the trees?
The Ewoks?
Did they do that noise? No. Did they chirp? They didn't chirp.
Yeah, they kind of made like,
yeah,
chitters.
Kenku chirp when they're excited. They recreate sounds that they hear around them to make sentences. And it's a very curious crowd. And they're like, oh, it's visitors. And so many of them. Oh, interesting. Dressed like pirates. Shocking, but not so much.
Randall is not dressed like a pirate. He's wearing like a cloak.
I am currently a vulture, but I am dressed like a pirate as I'm taking Valen's hat.
No one gets close enough that you can like have a conversation with them without yelling. So they're all like at a yelling distance, but they're not yelling. They're just like looking at you and like whispering to each other.
Valen will bow to the people and turn around, walk over to the door and use thaumaturgy to do a quick knock.
Two of your discs light up. Blue and purple light up. And you hear the bolt just like plop on the ground.
Valen will open the door.
And y'all keep running.
And we keep going.
The third barrier is less evident and less like clearly a barrier. It's a river. And once again, curves. This island feels a lot like a fucking, what is it called? Concentric circle trap. And this one is just a river. And when you approach the bridge, your blue disc glows. And y'all are able to cross the bridge without any inconveniences. By the way, did you ask Randall what happened when they went through the barrier without proper...
Nope.
Okay.
It's worth it to say that Now that we're on foot again, Valen transformed back into a tiefling. And for Randall, Valen has like olive skin. So he kind of just looks like tan. Has horns that come up and back. And purple hair and yellow eyes.
Ooh.
And he does have a tail.
Ben loves tails. I don't know why, but I just love tails. Randall's like, oh, a tiefling. Interesting.
No, you saw me as a tiefling when we were on shore. I showed up as a human, and then I transformed back into my original form, a tiefling, when I said that's not my style.
Oh.
I think. Or something.
If it didn't, it did now.
Exactly. We keep running.
Shall we? As Randall just like, shall we just keep going?
We shall.
If we're running, are they like still trailing right behind us? Are they above us? Can we see Tiburcioso and his merry men?
Tiburcio didn't bring his crew. It was just Tiburcio and his two like officers.
Karen and Sharon?
Vultures have keen sight, so I'll take to the air so I can try and keep an eye on them.
You see Hummingbird Tiburcio not so far behind. Clearly they were slow a little longer than you were because Karen had to catch them up a little bit. You're guessing they had to spend some time to get their shit together a little bit before they could fully chase.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lead.
Nice.
You keep going. You now come into a very beautifully, I hate to use the word manicure, but cause it's just so silly. It's so silly of a word. A very well manicured garden. With hedges and topiaries, and it's just gorge, gorge, gorge. And as you enter the grass here, do you just keep running across it? Because at the other side of this, like, you know the White House? How the White House has got a bunch of greenery around it, right? Or before the barricades went up. Similar to that, and the like across this thing, it's like there's like a gigantic like rectangular garden, like a park almost. Yeah, it's Central Park. Central Park about 1 mile long, the long side of the rectangle, and about a couple hundred feet across the short side of the rectangle.
So, this whole place, does it smell fresh and verdant like I would expect a... Okay. Just wanted to make sure I didn't smell like carrion or death or the real Central Park.
Wow. Grandma hasn't been here, so there's no sheepskin condoms all over the place.
Jesus.
Well, she gets around more than I did.
The sheepskin condoms cannot be what sticks as a recurring joke. It cannot be.
Please.
Hey, Grandma is sexually active and she's responsible. Let her live.
But she's not responsible because she...
She's not responsible. They're bad. It's a bad
Grandma
thing.
Grandma litters, but she, you know...
Sheepskin condoms are bad. Don't use them.
Well, it's better than her diaphragm, okay?
So we're in a garden...
Did I hear you correctly? It's a mile long and 100 feet across. A
couple hundred.
Oh, okay.
2,100 feet, like half of one third of a mile across.
So this garden is between us and where we're going, but it's not a barrier.
Yeah, it's not a barrier. It's just like a very distinctly pretty piece of land, but like island ground, which is like pebbles and small rocks, like river rocks. And loose brambles and grass and shit and dirt.
I'm still going to cast Detect Magic at the ominous garden that appears in the middle of the desert of Carib. This is like a deserty island.
No. I said the woods before. It's still a very flush tropical island. But instead of like a thick random tropical forest or tropical woods with running rivers and little bird people in tree houses, this one is just like a plain, like a very flat piece of land with beautiful topiaries.
I'm still casting Detect Magic because it's out of place.
Detect Magic goes around 30 feet from you, right?
Yes.
Nothing off with the grass itself. You're close enough to detect one of the topiaries. Topiary itself is not magical? Wait, is my camera on? I should be making this face on camera.
Yes, your camera is on.
My face tells too much. I'm too tired.
No, we need it. Bring it back.
I miss his face.
Yeah, same.
Hmm?
We miss your face.
Oh, yeah, you miss me, my bad pucker face. That's what you miss. Miss?
No.
You miss my pucker face? Pop, 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 pop. No, I can't sing today. Anyways, as you start walking through the garden, are you running or walking?
Flying.
I will walk through the garden.
I mean, this seems like a loaded question, but yes, flying.
Oh, cool. So
I'll turn back into an Aarakocra.
Silas! I could use a ride!
As you fly around, holding Randall on your talons or your claws or your patas, whatever you want to call it, all of you have played Magic the Gathering before, and as you know, in Magic the Gathering, green defeats flying every time.
What?
All, like, a snare and all these, like, anti-flying cards are all green. Because it's, like, vines, like, crawling up and, like, snatching people down. And if you remember Grandma's alarm door in her little, like, parking dock back in her...
Right, yes.
It's made from these, like, vines that just look like vines, but then they come alive and they strangle you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She bought them here.
There's no tabaxi, right? In Carib?
Seven races? No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll turn back into a tiefling and keep running.
Hold on. The way that this works is that as you physically enter, like, or above or on ground, any place within this park, the park itself kind of, like, creates the dome around whatever you're walking. So the dome becomes in the form of either the topiary blocking the way, like, in a straight line, and try to walk past it, it would just, like, entangle the fuck out of you. And those who were on foot, none of you were, so you don't know how they're getting out of it. But they're all, like, entangled horribly in this thing. Not in a dangerous, deadly way, but, like, in a very inconvenient, I cannot move anymore way. And those above, the hedges, were not hedges, but they were, like, compacted vines in the shape of, like, a hedge that just, like, unravel, like, in a mass of, like, writhing vines and shoot up and create this, like, straight, thin hedge. And you also get tangled up there, like mosquitoes.
I fly as close to Valen as possible, dropping Randall a few feet before. And then I also drop Polymorph and just smash right into Valen.
Ow!
Hey, sorry. I needed to be able to cast. And, oh, these are tight vines. I don't like this at all. It's getting a little hentai in here.
It's always hentai in here, baby.
How about I help you out?
I'd never turn down help.
I, like, look back towards everyone. Like, I'm picturing Valen up at the front and everybody is in a line moving back of where we've all got entangled.
Actually, before you continue, Shane, as you prepare to cast a spell that might ruin everything that I plan ahead, let me provide you with some reference points. I need all make a wisdom saving.
That is a 15.
What? Dice? No. Big ol' 8 for me.
On Randall?
1-5.
15.
I'm actually at 14.
Oh, nice.
But your instincts are right. I was trying to one spell this entire encounter. But in dramatic cinematic fashion, I promise.
Freedom of movement.
I can only hit you with this, Valen. I can't cast it on all of us. Finish the mission.
Well, let's see what Herman has to say first.
Right.
Randall, you snap out of this weird, like, daze that you were in. And you find yourselves understanding what the fuck is going on, finally. This is not an island surrounded by seven perfectly symmetrical walls. Instead, the moment you stepped on this island, you stepped on a gigantic rune. The island itself has been artificially manipulated or, like, built or made into this rune. And I'm going to share this in the group chat, and I'm going to share that on our social media. If you follow us on Instagram, you'll be able to see the rune. It's a geometric shape.
A conch.
Correct. If you were to cut a conch in half, like right down the middle, the shape of its inside, which is like this weird, not weird, it's a circular, like a, what is it called? A spiral. It's a spiral surrounded by some outjutting pieces of coral inside of it. And it's divided in exactly, 5 sections. And then some of those sections are divided in half, and the last one will lead to the center of a conch. Right now, you can tell that you are in the one that you can see is, like, in the northernmost part of the island. And
so it's the top one on this image.
Yes. Well, it looks like it has a penis in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's what I was, like, about to describe it as. An uncut dick.
And the part on the left side of this, like, the division on the left side, that's where the garden is itself. And the land itself, it's, like, powering this thing. But you cannot, there's no way for you to snap them out of it without dispel magic. You literally can see that all the traps and the things that you saw in the past are just like literally like parts of like a golf course. That's the best way to describe it. It looks like a golf course from above if you are seeing this place with clear eyes.
Well, luckily, I have a spell called Dispel Magic.
Do you know?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
And do I have to target the individual or the land? I'm thinking just the magical, overall magical effect of the land would do.
You're trying to dispel the rune that is carved into the land itself? Now I really wish I had my camera on, because like, my eyes.
Well, we can't see that, because, well, you're hiding your face, your pretty face. So Silas, he is definitely not himself right now. He's stuck in this state of being. I will knock him out of his state first.
Okay, so you can dismiss the spell, the magical effect on this one person.
Yes.
And to do that, you make a dispel check, which is just an intelligence check.
Alrighty, let's do this. Come on, dice roll. Nat fucking 20.
Alright.
Nice!
Really thought you were going the other way with that.
Yeah, same.
So Silas, you understand now what's going on, and now the two of you are able, and you're the one who flies. Wait, did you cancel your dispel, your flying spell, right?
Well, I was going to dispel it and freedom of movement Valen, and then you interrupted me with narration, so up to you. If it's gone, it's gone.
It's still in the air.
Okay.
As such, you're able to tell that the parts of the ring that y'all went through are still lit in the three colors of the discs that Valen had. And as you stand there, you see that in the other direction...
As I flap there.
Yeah, one of the portions of the golf course glows yellow. The other one glows orange.
Well, that one was presumably Tiburcio and the discs that he's collected.
And you can tell that they kind of like got into a dead end on the other side, and they must come this way.
Ah! And I fly us over towards Valen.
So right now, the vines rising up in front of you don't let you see what's on the other side of the park.
Are they stopping me from moving towards Valen?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Vines, you can do whatever you want.
Okay, so they're sort of more of like a curtain for us in the air. They're not like reaching up and dragging me down and pinning me to the ground or anything.
They're not interfering with your movement. Unless if you're not moving forward within the park, they just like stand there.
Okay. Then I would like to land us next to Valen.
And by the way, Valen, when you guys land, you see your entire crew with Mevy on top of it like a cherry. They look like if Fosse was trying to make a sundae with dancers.
Yeah, your crew is definitely sundae.
Boss, I'm glad I stretched today.
Me too, Mevy. Me too.
Can I dispel this effect somehow and free the crew?
You can free them. Again, imagine like a Chinese finger trap. The more you try to push against the vines, the more difficult it becomes. If you're trying to walk back, they even like help you like pull back.
I shift back. Hey, Randall, I hate to say this, but while they're there, they're kind of just one more obstruction for Tiburcio to get past. And, well, we need to get Valen moving. Can you, like, help him with the brain fog and I'll buff him for the vines?
Yeah, I could dispel him, no problem.
All right. I'll wait till you do that to cast my spell, just so we don't mess it up.
Valen, he's in his state of mind where he's unsure who he is, and I walk up to him, and I grab him by the shoulders, and I'm like, snap out of it! And I cast Dispel Magic on him. Oh, come on, baby, one more time. You were such a good die last time. Come on, baby. Well, it's not a nat 20, but it is double digit.
Nice.
So I will add my intelligence modifier. That is a 16.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you snap it.
Nice.
Now, you also realize this, Val, and because you're attuned to the discs, you very quickly realize what's going on and that, indeed, a magical effect was triggered when you passed these barriers, and you harmlessly walk, were able to get through. And you can sense that more of the discs are coming. Like, something in your core lets you know that they're, like, nearby. You can see Tiburcio and his two officers are like dashing towards you at a breakneck speed. You have about like a couple rounds before they arrive, but if you want to do something ahead of time, go ahead.
Are you saying that we're going to be fighting these guys no matter what?
Fighting?
Yeah, I'm a little confused. the vines and the, like, brain fog are separate effects, right? Like, the vines are still trying to stop us.
But now you realize that this is not just a natural thing. This is something that is there to prevent anyone but the caciques to get through.
Okay. Valen, you're gonna have to leave this one to us. I pat Valen on the shoulder and cast freedom of movement.
You're a madman, Silas. I click my heels together, turn into an Arakocra, my speed is doubled, and I fly off.
Freedom of movement lets you squeeze by the vines, and when you get through the vines, you go back to the beach.
Nice! I did it!
And you guys see that Valen went through the vines, we don't know what happened to him. And when Duvresh arrives at the vines, Duvresh is like, aha! I beat that dumbass! He probably got lost or stuck somewhere. Ha 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 ha! Guys, get rid of those nerds!
Wait. Tibercio, I see that you're giving orders. And before you do, I just want to interrupt so I can say, SUFFER! I activate the Mace of Terror.
And as you take an aggressive action, all seven layers of the rune start glowing. And as you do that, the Roger, like, threw his the desk at the wall of vines.
I catch it.
You're on the beach. You're, like, literally all the way to the beach by the first step.
Yeah, but I catch it.
I also definitely want to argue with you that this is explicitly a non-violent action, but sure. Punish me, Island. I'm here for it.
Making someone make a saving throw towards a harmful effect. That sounds... don't try to Kitana me, sir.
That is literally what I am doing. That is literally the action I have just selected.
As Tabasha does is the vines go red, kind of like the War of the Worlds red. And then they just, like, wither down. And on the other side of the vines, there is a very humble shack. And as the very humble shack shows up, you're back at the beach, Valen. And now that you're no longer affected by the maze effect, the beach is not this, like, endless, long, beautiful, empty beach. It's just a very simple gravel beach with a few, like, fishing huts here and there. And you see these guys on the other side of it, like, literally, like, Tuversio, Karen, and Cappy are, like, squaring up with Mevy, Sander, Randall, and Silas, like, literally, like, squared up. And in the very center of, like, this very small island, and I realize it's not bigger than, like, a couple hundred feet across, from a house out of a fairy tale, imagine that gingerbread house from the Heidi and Gretel or whatever, a little old Kenku comes out, and he has a pink disc on his chest and says, wow, I can't believe you're so stupid. My name is Q. If you really want to be the Quakasike, show to me that you are willing to compromise, to share your bounties, to be brothers with each other and look after each other. Not once one of you stopped to wonder if the others will make it safely. Not once you two attempted to help each other. He points at you and Tibercio. Not once you care about anyone except winning the race.
That's fundamentally untrue. I invited Karen to join my crew right off the bat. I said we were going to be quick friends.
You offered to hire him. I see past beyond your smooth talk, young man. If you really want to be the Quakasike, both of you have failed horribly today. The unity that this world needs, Carib needs, comes from a place of selflessness. I was very willing to give up my disc today. If either one of you show 1 ounce of compromise.
I said there was room on my crew for everyone on Tibercio's crew.
Did you really mean it?
Yes.
If Tibercio right now were to put down his captain hat, very fancy hat, by the way, young man. With that, whatever the hat is worth, you could probably buy 3 of these islands. You would have walked out of here with my disc, majority of support, but the two of you have disappointed me immensely. You must learn our past. You must study the ways of Anakaona. She was queen of the pirates, not because she was the strongest, not because she has access to the conch, not because she, with her own hands, created a titan and a vow that brought us all together as siblings within her wings. With her beautiful kenku flappy wings, she was the most beautiful duck.
I transform into a kenku in the shape of a raven.
With a duck bill.
I wish.
Tibercio is still in his shark form, and he looks like, come on, man. Respect, dude. Come on. Fuck off. Like, Tibercio's starting to, like, pay attention. He's like, oh, shit, I fucked up. Big time.
I take my pouch with the discs, and I hand it to the guy. I'm willing to compromise.
I do not crave the position of Quakersick.
I'm giving these to you for you to determine who is worthy of them.
I am not the one to give those away. They're owners. The people who represent those islands have their own vision for their leader. My vision is of a leader rich in spirit. I will never ask you to go through a night initiation or to dive into the swamps of fire or go hunt some chicken or fix the fires. This is not me.
I hope you're taking notes of all the things Tiburcio did, by the way, because that was some plot that just got dropped on us.
A swamp of fire. That's some fucking Princess Bride shit.
I will not decide which of you I will lean with, since as of right now, both of you are just as much as a child to me. Actually, no. Our children in this island are exemplar. You are rabid raccoons who have found some fermented apples and are drunk. The rabies.
Listen, I never said I was sober, okay?
I shall open my doors to you two. And those of you who wish to enrich yourselves, come peruse what she has left behind. You may find her diaries. You may find stories, songs, poems. And once you really delve into the depths of who we were, are, and will be as people, that well, you will earn the right to claim the title of Quakersick. The rest of your crew can go stay in that guest house alone.
If we are closer than we thought we were, I'll turn to Tiburcio and I'll reach my hand out for a handshake.
Like, shoots us away and says, like, you see, this is all your fault, god damn it. Look what we have to do now. You couldn't just wait for me? Hmm? God damn it. Work together. Don't you fucking dare fuck this up for me. Don't you dare.
Tiburcio, would you like to join my crew?
If you meant it.
I do.
No, I don't want to do it, though.
Well.
But out of a sense of pride. I am leader, and I...
That's fair.
I will not serve the world well by bending the knee or commands of a man who I do not...
I get that. I absolutely do. And I think you and I can, in this place, talk truly, and I think we can both get what we're looking for. I want three things, Tiburcio. None of them involve staying in Carib and ruling over the Carib Quay.
He raises an eyebrow. Beautifully waxed eyebrow.
Let's talk.
We can talk after I beat you a learning. Ha ha ha! He runs towards
the- I run right woke. Next
I'm
to him.
I'm gonna be so fucking woke. You have no idea, bro.
We're gonna get woke together. We're going to support each other. I'm going to spot you, bro.
Happy and Karen just got each other like, oh, God.
I'm going to spot you while you lift knowledge.
Even though Karen kind of like looks towards that house with like such lust. And see Karen shake his head like, nah, not for me. I'll do rustic. And he goes to her.
Honestly, like if we're done fighting, yeah. Do you want to see like what grubs over there? Like showing off the mace to Cappy. Yeah, I did all the crimping myself.
When you say crimping, Cappy kind of like misses a step. It's like, oh yeah, I love crimping. It's a very normal thing to do. It's just folding paper. Big deal.
Insight check.
Yeah, no, I don't need one.
Nobody lies to me about crimping and gets away with it.
Yeah, oh, and please don't have me murdered for it. I heard that that was part of the reasoning on those murders and all, so, like, pretty please, no?
I didn't murder anyone.
I don't know, I know you didn't do it, but I mean, like, presumably it was Tiburcio's orders.
So the crimping, tell me more about the crimping!
Now I want an insight check, because I want to know if it was actually Tiburcio's orders that got those guys killed.
He didn't say no or yes, he just changed the subject. I can't lie if I don't answer the question.
He was being evasive.
But he's also telling you the truth because he's being evasive.
That's not how insight works. With an 18 insight, is it pretty safe to assume that, like, am I getting the read of guilt, like, Tiburcio did order it, or am I getting the read of, like, this guy doesn't know what he's in for?
You get the sense that it's a very loaded subject for this guy, because... supposed to be like the master of arms of the Tiburcio army or the Tiburcio empire or whatever. And you feel like a sense of helplessness. Like, I didn't have anything to do with that and I wish it didn't happen. That's like the vibe you get from him. Like, this is like, I don't want to talk about that. That's not nice.
Oh, okay. I take that in stride, though. Like, I'm gonna just try and be a little bit friendlier and nicer now that I know he's not 100% asshole all the time.
Something about this island kind of, like, chills everybody out. You notice that even Karen, since you met him here, has not once attempted to poison you.
I did notice that. That was very strange.
And I drank his tea.
You drank his tea, and you had a very good chance to poison you.
I thought I was immune to poison. I wasn't. It was disease, it turns out. I was wrongfully confident.
What's going on in the house, by the way?
Tiburcio and I are stuck in the doorway, both trying to get in. And then I let him.
You don't, because Barry's like, I normally wouldn't do this because I hate physical contact, but get out of the way! And he like bumps the two of you. And, like,
and Randall's right behind him.
Oh my
him.
God, you can talk?
Yeah, at this point, I see Randall going up because Barry went up, and I'm, like, inviting Cappy because we were still chatting. Like, do you just want to, is everybody just going to go? You want to go see there before we go to the guest house? All right, let's go see what they've got to say.
Karen's getting weird vibes out of the house, so I really don't want to go. I'm more of a Karen. Karen is more of the second person. I'm the third person. And I really don't have that much power. I'm more of like a security guard, like a bodyguard. And over here, there's not much bodies to guard because nobody's going to slap anyone even. So I'm just gonna go get a good tan.
Yeah, Karen doesn't like that there's no manager at the house.
One more detail about Karen. I really love Karen. Karen had a never-ending scroll of the spell magic in the shape of an expired coupon.
Why wouldn't she?
Of course, yeah. Everyone knows that common magic item. All right, well, Valen, Randall, whatever's going on there seems really important, and just, I guess, think at me the cliff notes later, okay? I'm gonna take a second to unwind and, like, hang out with these guys. You good?
Silas, I can't hear you when I'm reading.
As Barry knocks you both into the little shack, and mind you, the little shack has, like, little, very cute, like, stone stairs that are, like, about an inch high. And they just go up a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little. And by the time you open the door, it's a very softly made, like, wood door that survives the tropical moist weather somehow. And when you open it, and you fall on the ground, of course, and pass the best of you with your eyes, you and Tiburcio both start crying. If you remember, Pavel, when you had that poison dream, you saw a library in that underwater bubble city. This is an exact replica of the library. It has monumental arches going all the way up about 80-something feet, stacked with books in every shape, color, material you can imagine. And there's like Hogwarts-style tables in the center of it, just sprawling with all the supplies you may need to like perform complex mathematical calculations. There's astronomical tools. There's like ancient tools that you've never seen in your life. You have no idea what they do. And it's pretty much a TARDIS. I forgot how to pronounce this. This guy's shack is a little TARDIS, yeah. And the moment you cross that door, you can feel an extremely powerful magical force preventing you from performing an attack action, casting any spell, or even raising your voice. You are in a sacred place, and there's no way to explain it besides, like, your body knows this is a place for growth. And the old Kenku man just, like, says, well, take off your shoes. There's sandals over there. If you need mugs for coffee and cocoa, they're over here. Make sure you wash your mugs. Wash your mugs and use coasters. Now, make yourselves ready for the parade. Because, trust me, you will need it.
Q, do I ever have to leave this fascinating place? Because, like, Randall is shaking in excitement.
As long as you wash your mugs, you can stay here as long as you want.
You just see Randall disappear into nothingness and just fly straight into the library.
And the episode ends. But yeah, this was a very fun episode. I knew you guys were just going to be aggressive and try to, like, fucking run through the fucking city without trying to figure things out.
To be fair, you literally framed it as a race, go, go, go.
Literally, yes. Listen, we're not gonna save it for the short rest.
Pavel, you were the one who ran through. I kept asking.
We don't have that show, Pavel.
Oh, right. That's a different podcast. Sorry.
Look, the important part is I got to use my pretty pink mace and didn't actually have to hit anybody with it.
Karen was the key because Karen was being patient. That should have been enough to be like, what's going on here? Something is off in this fucking island. But no, I have fun.
That's not my style.
But I really like that you stuck to your character, so did Tubercio. Because Tubercio and Cappy would just like, whatever you were doing, they would try to do it better. And they're like, he's running, we have to run. Fuck it, fuck. Speed. Where's the cocaine? But yeah, I had fun today. I really had fun. And I'm glad that things came out the way that I thought they were going to. And we're just one episode behind on my schedule. So that's fun.
Nice.
This was a very intensive day for the plot. These past two episodes, oh boy. But hey, we're supposed to be doing outros. I'm Shane. Today I played Silas Carrion.
Oh no, you're fired.
Goodbye, podcast. Nice knowing you. Someone else go.
I'm Ben. I play Randall. And I also, again, would like to plug a great classic Mel Brooks movie called Spaceballs.
My name is,
Fallon.
Pavel.
Dr. Helmet. Mr. Helmet. Lord Helmet.
Lord Helmet. I think it's Lord.
Lord Helmet.
Oh.
I'm Lord Helmet, played by Fallon, voiced by Pavel. And that was a three-tiered bit.
I am Herman, and I'm confused.
Any other plugs? I know on my end, please come to my events Saturday afternoons at Rock Bar and Tuesday evenings at Atlas Social Club to be in queer spaces and nerd out. Don't forget, you can email us with all of your comments about how terrible and awful we are and that you hate us, or preferably something nice to say, at legendofnat1@gmail.com. We also have Discord and Patreon, both of which are linked in the show notes. Anybody else want to plug anything? Don't forget, Erman is bartending at Russian Samovar entirely too often for his own mental health. So if you would like to provide some relief, come by and get a drink from him. Or seven. That's more of the Russian Samovar style.
On my last note, I just wanted to say that I wanted to plug in the concept of friendship.
Aww.
Because honestly, I've been having... I'm going to get real people. It's been a rough couple weeks, and today has been a very good recharge. So if anyone out there is feeling, I don't know, depleted or tired or out of whatever, reach out to someone. Find people to be around. Don't isolate. Someone will listen, and if they don't, come to me, email me, text me, something, I don't know.
Quick, Pavel, undercut this with a joke.
Remember, if you like our podcast and enjoy our content, make sure to check us out on Discord.
There's a link in our show notes.
The Legend of Nat 1 theme is by David Yardley. You can find more of his work at davidyardleymusic.com. That's Yardley spelled Yardley.
Logo by Ben Thwaite.
You can follow us on our socials, The Legend of Nat 1 on Facebook and Nat 1 Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
That is Nat, the number one, Pod.
And if you really like our content, you can throw us a dollar on Patreon, Nat 1 Pod.
Email us at legendofnat1@gmail.com to give us feedback, suggestions, or criticisms that will haunt us for the rest of our days.
The majority of our music is by Kevin MacLeod, and the license is provided by incompetech.filmmusic.io.
Phelan decided he needed his own theme music. You can find Pirates of the Quarantine by Alexander Nakarada, and the license is provided by filmmusic.io.
I love that. That is loved by me.
It seems a bit biased about your love.
Our amazing editing is done by the incomparable Brandon Lee,
also known affectionately as Pooh Bear,
with assistance by Shane Cherry.
Hey, that's me.
And if you didn't like our content, again, we are The Adventure Zone.
That's some gay history right there, because that is a staple drag queen joke.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful.
So here's the real meta. Was that Randall and Silas actually reuniting, or was it just the island?
Ooh, find out next time on The Legend of Nat 1!